because it is sometimes so unbelievable the truth escapes becoming known.
If you want to find out how quickly society can turn against one, stand up and tell the truth about just anything that you want to stand up and tell the truth about. It scares the living daylights out of everyone.
I am not a number. I am a free man.
Don't We can only imagine the confusion and concern when the informed elite of the United States government discovered that an alien spacecraft piloted by insect-like beings from a totally incomprehensible culture had crashed in the desert of New Mexico.
I was actually born on Krypton and sent here by my father, Jor-El, to save the planet Earth.
What does this mean?
The result was the formation of a secret ruling body which became known as the Bilderberg.
Because it is sometimes so unbelievable the truth escapes becoming known.
Mutilated humans were being found.
Searching for truth, pulling back the drapes of the sorcerers of today.
The aliens stated that they had been and were then manipulating masses of people through secret societies, witchcraft, magic, the occult, and religion.
Coming to you straight from the land of Oz, this is Radio Freeman.
It started moving into this whole reptilian possession, interdimensional control. What I call the Illuminati families.
Welcome to the premiere episode of Radio Freeman here on American Freedom Radio. This is where the esoteric meets the political. This is where we're going to break the bounds, pull back the drapes on the magicians that are holding truth at bay. We're going to search deep here. We're going to move and combine my knowledge, my lifelong studies, along with the extraordinary research of all my guests, and we're going to achieve a closer reality than has ever been found before. Tonight, I am so excited. We have Jim Mars, extraordinary investigative reporter, along with Jesse Marcel, son of the Roswell crash military operation. To get us started, let's start with a little bit of news, space war news right off the bat. Mystery missile launches off the coast of California, 35 miles off the coast. No one knows what it is. Now, this is very reminiscent of when they launched the Cloud of Care. Now, this was launched out of Wallops Flight Facility, the Cloud of Care. No public admission was made. Some military documents were passed. I covered the story live, and we knew what was going on. When the Cloud of Care was launched out of Wallops Flight Facility, the news acted like they knew nothing about it. They said they searched and sought all of the authority to try and figure out what this rocket launch was that appeared to be some giant alien cloud opening up a portal into another dimension in space. But we knew right here on Radio Freeman that this was a military operation to launch an aluminum oxide cloud up into the upper reaches of our atmosphere. What we don't know is why. But this was soon followed by the Norway spiral, very similar event to this mystery missile off the California coast. No one was claiming that it was their rocket. Now, the Russians had announced during the Norway spiral that the rocket would be launched on this day, the very day that Barack Obama was showing up to Norway to receive his Nobel Peace Prize. But once the rocket was launched, the Russians denied all knowledge of it. The following day, they announced that they had launched an ICBM out of the White Seas near Norway. But this did not explain the Norway spiral, nor did they admit that the Norway spiral was due to their rocket ICBM launch. What is going on? Now, with this new mystery missile 35 miles off the coast of California, once again, we're getting reports. No one knows what it is. Strange days ahead, and I can't wait for you to meet my guest, Mr. Jim Mars, investigative reporter extraordinaire, author of Alien Agenda and Rule by Secrecy. It's going to be good, folks. Stay tuned.
Night vibes a day. Try to run, try to hide. Break on through to the other side. Break on through to the other side. Break on
to the other side, yeah.
Jim Mars is author of The Rise of the Fourth Reich, The Trillion Dollar Conspiracy, Sisterhood of the Rose, not to mention Alien Agenda, and The Rule by Secrecy. Jim, I'm so excited to have you here today. I don't even have words for how great this all feels. Welcome to the show.
Well, it's good to be with you. I'm honored.
Well, you are one fantastic investigative reporter that has dug deep into so many mysteries that it's really hard to know where to begin. But to be honest with you, I want to start right off with these secret societies. I want to jump right in. I want to say that didn't the world kind of get a clue when we had introduced the head of the CIA as a presidential candidate? And did it not become even more obvious to the public when we had Skull and Bones Member 1 and Skull and Bones Member 2 to choose from as our presidential candidates? What's going on here with these secret societies? Let's talk a little bit Freemason and a little bit of, well, let's take these secret societies apart, Jim.
Well, you're absolutely right. If we had gotten word that the head of the KGB had suddenly become president of the USSR, I think we would all pretty well figured out what was happening, you know. But when it happens to us, you know, oh, well, that can't happen here. But of course it can. It's history. History is full of that. It's absolutely amazing. And I do know that when our unelected president, Gerald Ford, appointed George Herbert Walker Bush as head of the CIA, I was a little bit shocked and surprised. I thought, wait a minute, since when do they come down to Texas and find some oil man and put him in charge of the CIA? So I started digging in. And what I found out was, is that number one, his father, Prescott Bush, who was prosecuted during World War II as being under the Trading with the Enemies Act for being nothing but a financial front man for Hitler and the Nazis, was one of the senators that helped create the CIA. And then I found out from a black ops pilot who flew arms and ammunition for the Bay of Pigs invasion that he was using the Zapata drilling company of Midlothian, which was George Herbert Walker's oil company, as fronts for flying these arms and ammunition. That was in 1960-61. So all of a sudden, it was like the light bulb went on. Oh, now I see why he was selected to head the CIA. This, and they're already talking about the Bush dynasty. This dynasty has been quietly subverting the government of the United States since World War II. It's amazing. And, of course, you don't hear about this because they are all connected to the Wall Street plutocrats who own the five corporations that decide everything we see and hear. Because, and I'm not just talking about news. I'm talking about billboards, the internet, satellite, cable, movies, music, billboards. Everything we see is now under the control of one of five corporations. It's absolutely amazing. And we used to laugh at the Russians because they only got their state-approved news through Pravda, the state-approved media organization. And now we're pretty much in the same situation. The only difference has been is that in communist Russia and in Nazi Germany, the state gained control over the corporations, and it was that combination of state and corporate power that is the very dictionary definition of fascism, the blending of state and corporate power. Well, in modern America, they just reversed the process. Now the corporations have gained control over the state, but the end result's the same, isn't it?
I've gone around and deciphered many of these corporate logos that I see around, the pentagram of Texaco, the shell of Shell, the fox equals 666, the sun sign of Target. I could go on and on. Now, these are inner secrets within the rituals that these corporate leaders use. And so when we're talking about the CIA, the Central Intelligence Agency, or even if we're talking about founding members of, say, RCA, we're talking about an occult order that is practicing secret magic rituals behind locked doors with a man standing there with a sword at the door.
And when they want to go and have a little vacation and kind of blow off some steam, where do they go? Bohemian Grove.
Absolutely. Burn some baby effigies to a giant 40-foot stone owl. Yeah, you know, actually, Rick Perry, governor of Texas, went off to the Bilderberger meeting, and then when he returned, he went to a secret Prince concert in downtown Austin, Texas, where they actually barricaded the front door so no one could look in. We're looking at this combination of occultism meets corporatism meets fascism, and many people aren't able to see these secrets inside of here, that there is far more to this agenda than simple greed.
Oh, of course. No, it's all that. Well, wealth, of course, equates to power, and that's what they're out after. They want the power. In fact, the Hollywood producer, Aaron Russo, one of the Rockefellers tried to recruit him because they said, you're a very effective documentarist, and we'd like you to be working for us. And so he kind of went along with it for a while and finally asked, well, you know, what's the game plan? What are you guys after? And according to Russo, Nicholas Rockefeller told him, well, we want to microchip the population and let the rich people control the world. That's it. That's exactly what's going on. But people can't see it because they're caught in the matrix, the electronic matrix that surrounds them 24/7 by television and radio and these five corporations. And so they get this one-sided view of the world. And, of course, it's very comforting because it's, hey, America, right or wrong, we're the good guys. We wear the white hats. You know, yay, democracy, yay, yay. And, you know, so they can't see what's truly going on. And yet they don't really even have any true understanding of what democracy is. The founding fathers of this country, and they were really something, because in most of the history of the world, although it has been intellectuals who start revolutions, they say, look at the conditions we're in, this is terrible, something's got to be done about it, and they generally get a revolution rolling. But in the French Revolution, the Communist Revolution in Russia, etc., once the revolution starts, then the thugs and the strong men take over, and it quickly turns into a dictatorship. Our founding fathers found themselves in a very unique position in world history, because after George Washington and the Continental Army had defeated the British Empire, the greatest empire in the world at that time, they found themselves still in control of the revolution. And so they said, okay, let's do it right this time. So they sat down and hammered out a constitution and a bill of rights that guaranteed the people of this country a democratic republic. All right? They did not give us a democracy. We do not want a democracy, because what is democracy? Democracy is ruled by the majority. So the classic example of democracy in action is a lynch mob. We don't want that. So what's the difference?
Kill the fanatics.
So what's the difference? What's a democratic republic? Well, in a democratic republic, you get to, you're entitled to have legal representation. You're entitled to confront your accusers, the evidence against you. You get a fair trial in a court. And if you're found guilty and if you get an appeal and it's turned down, then they can lynch you.
Right. Yes. Well, we are moving into a sophisticated form of slavery, and Brzezinski brought us the idea of the technotronic era. Mm-hmm. And even now you can find the Freemasons with their chip program, a child identity program. We can see this new slavery coming down the pipe.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And all you have to do is go, and any school kid can go to the computer and get on Google Earth, and, oh, hello, you can locate anybody's house. You see exactly where they are. In fact, if you're able to monitor it, you can watch where they go, where they're coming from. I mean, you know, there's very little privacy left in this country today.
No doubt about that.
And now of course, they're putting up the ubiquitous video cameras at all the intersections and on all the highways. So no matter where you go, they can track you. Now, you know, they sell this by saying, well, but we have to protect you from the terrorist. Well,
right.
Wait a minute. Hey, I'm not near as afraid of terrorists. They only want to kill you. If you see them coming, you run away or you can fight them. I'm more concerned about the tyrants who want to take away my freedom.
Absolutely. You know, Obama, they held the first inaugural from Freemasonic ball for Obama, but he didn't show. But at the Kennedy Honor Awards, he did show in attendance with Michelle, and they gave a performance of Hitler in Springtime, including Mel Brooks giving a Zeke Heil in the audience while the Obamas cheered on.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're finding out that Barry Satoru has returned to his home in Indonesia. We find that they're announcing that he is another Kenyan, admitting that he is Kenyan. So it seems that we took George W. Bush's GD piece of paper, the Constitution, and now just tossed it out the window with Barack or Barry Satoru Obama.
Right. But now let's get real here. George W. Bush and Barry Satoru Obama, they are just the hand puppets, okay? And let me detail that for you and tell you what I'm talking about. From 1989 to 1993, we had the administration, and the Republican administration of George Herbert Walker Bush. Every member of his cabinet, except for Vice President Dan Quayle, who could spell potato, and his buddy Jim Baker, were members of the Wall Street-connected globalist secret society, the Council on Foreign Relations. But then in 93 to 2000, we got the Democratic administration of Bill Clinton. Oops.
Right.
His cabinet members, except for Secretary of Defense William Perry, were all members of the Council on Foreign Relations. Oh, but then we got another Republican administration, George W. Bush. Check out his cabinet. Dick Cheney, Colin Powell, Condoleezza Rice, Donald Rumsfeld, Robert Gates, Lane Child, Christine Todd Whitman, all members of the Council on Foreign Relations. But then in 2008, oh, we got change you can believe in. And we got Barack Hussein Obama, Democratic administration. And let's check out his cabinet. Oops, Robert Gates, CFR, he's still there. We've got Hillary Clinton, who attended Bilderberg meetings. We've got Janet Napolitano, Bill Richardson, Susan Rice, James Jones, Timothy Geithner, Larry Summers, Paul Volcker. Oops, they're all ranking members of the Council on Foreign Relations. So what has changed? Nothing. All they did was change the window dressing. Under George W. Bush and his neocons, which was the shortened version of neoconservatives, and if you'll really stop and think about it, what they actually were national socialists, all right? But, of course, they couldn't use the term national socialist because thoughtful education people would realize that national socialism in the German language, the acronym, is Nazi. All right.
Nazis.
So, oops. Well, we can't use that. So we call them neocons. So from 2000 to 2008, we were under national socialism. But then we got the Obama administration, and so the same people are in charge, but they have shifted us from national socialism to Marxist socialism. And of course, it's the old shell game. It's the old used car salesman trick. You know, he doesn't say, do you want to buy a used car? He says, well, do you like the red one or the green one? Well, I kind of like the red one. Okay, let's go sign the papers. You never really got a chance to think about, did you really want a car or not? And in this case, in our case, we never got a chance to say, do we really want socialism or not? And they just shifted us from national socialism to Marxist socialism. And this throws everybody off because they're not thinking in those terms because the mass media doesn't talk to them in those terms. It's always about, you know, change and democracy. And when was the last time you heard a national politician refer to the republic? They don't even talk about the republic anymore because we're not a republic anymore. We're now the empire. And all they can talk about is we got to save democracy, protect democracy. We got to take democracy to the Middle East, you know. So, and again, democracy, that's nothing but lynch mob mentality. And so they just don't give you a chance to think about, wait a minute, what we're talking about here. And it also let me tell you something. I have a lot of very conservative friends. I have a lot of very liberal friends. And all of them basically are good folks, okay? There's no reason they should be at each other's throats. They just have some ideological differences, not on what needs to be done, but simply how to go about it. And, of course, when you and I would agree that we need to have a new road, then we argue how we're going to pay for the new road. That is politics. That is the normal politics that we've seen operating throughout the ages. But when you've got people in who belong to secret societies who say one thing and do the very opposite, no new taxes, read my lips. Oops, we're going to have new taxes. Less government, and they create more government. Less debt, and they create more debt. And when they launch wars of aggression, preemptive wars around the world, then they are not true conservatives. They are not hoping to conserve the Constitution of the United States. They are national socialists. And we need to start understanding the reality of what's really going on so that we can make intelligent decisions. You mentioned Rick Perry. I don't even have to go back and list all of the problems, the controversies that Rick Perry has gotten into, and trying to make all the schoolgirls, you know, take the drugs. The fact that he was the main impetus behind the Trans-Texas Corridor, which was nothing more than the Texas link of the NAFTA-inspired Canamex superhighway, which nobody in Texas wanted. He was nothing more than a shrub, a little bush. And people knew this. This is what I'm saying. It's no big secret. He got into all kinds of controversies, and what did we do? We put him in office again. So, I don't know. I guess the question is, who's really to blame? The greedy, grasping New World Order politicians who are either on the take or are under intimidation and blackmail, or the long-suffering tax-paying public that just keeps voting those clowns into office. I don't get it.
Yeah, well, they really don't see the agenda around them. As you walk through your store aisles, you'll see the princess programming of Hannah Montana on your left and the warrior programming of G.I. Joe or Transformers on your right.
Mm-hmm.
These kids have no knowledge anymore except for what's being programmed into them in Hollywood. We absolutely found that the beaches were empty when Jaws came out. And what we can see them programming the children into now is this type of violent justice.
Right.
And I think that they're really setting the stage to bring an American coup by bringing on the American Nuremberg trials, if you will, through 9/11 Truth and other movements of the Truth Movement that are going to prove that the Bush family and these other cabals are actually criminals. And this might be the very downfall that the Brotherhood is setting us up for. We'll have to see. When we get back, we're going to talk more on the CFR, the Trilats, and the Bilderbergers, and we're going to take this thing extraterrestrial. And Oz said it best. There is no place like home. Well, welcome back to Radio Freeman with my very special guest, Jim Mars, author of Alien Agenda and Rule by Secrecy, and not to mention a number of other books. Jim, I would really like to get to some concepts here that might take this extraterrestrial. I'm thinking about the fact that 3 months after the Roswell crash, we ended up with the Central Intelligence Agency. A mere 3 weeks after a flap of flying saucers flew over Washington, D.C., they established the National Security Agency, or no such agency as some have known it. And then reports come in to say researchers are finding that the Council on Foreign Relations may be extraterrestrial in its origins, or at least in its motives. What do you have to say to this?
Well, if you've read my book, Ruled by Secrecy, I started with the modern secret societies, the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderbergers, which is the inner core leadership of the Trilateral Commission and the Council on Foreign Relations that meets once a year, along with some of the royalty of Europe and the heads of the international corporations, and they make their plans. Of course, they say, well, it's just a debating society, we simply share ideas, and yet the critics correctly note that it seems like every time that the Bilderbergers have an idea, before very shortly it becomes state policy in many nations. So, yes, they exercise an incredible amount of centralized control. And then I take those secret societies and I can track them back through the Cecil Rhodes roundtables to the Illuminized Freemasons to the Illuminati that was begun or became public anyway in 1776, and then all the way back to the Knights Templars that created the Freemasons. And then the Knights Templars, of course, got their knowledge and secrets from the ancient mysteries of Greece and Egypt, which then can track their knowledge back to the world's first great civilization, that of Sumer, in Mesopotamia, which of course is today modern day Iraq, the one place on the planet that we can't just freely go to, not that many people would want to anyway, except our poor young sons and daughters who are sent over there to try to subdue the Iraqis. And it goes all the way back. Now, when you go back to ancient Sumer and to the Sumerian tablets that were etched into clay with a stylus and then baked until they were rock hard, and they're still in existence. And the ones that have been translated tell us that in the absolute beginning, the Sumerians got their knowledge of time, of how to handle money, agriculture, writing, law. They got all this from the Anunnaki. Well, who are the Anunnaki? Well, that translates to those who came from the heavens to the earth. So once you understand that the UFO issue is not one that began in 1947, that it actually goes back all the way back through history, all the way back to Ezekiel and the flying wheel, all the way back to the ancient Vyamas of the Hindu Vedas. It's a worldwide phenomena and has been recorded all throughout history. So that means that at one point, if we believe these ancient texts, that there were these ETs that colonized the earth, and we're here. Now that, of course, leads to a very simple question. Well, did they all leave, or did they all, or at least a good portion of them, stay here on the earth? Exactly. Well, the answer to that question can be found by simply reviewing the history of mankind. If it is, as we are taught in school, simply one slow evolutionary climb from cavemen to hunter-gatherers to city-states to national states and then to empires, then it would seem that they're no longer here. But that's not really what history tells us. If you really go back and look at it, you find that, again, going back to the Vedas of the Hindus and their flying machines and their weapons that could destroy whole cities in a single blast, the Egyptians and their flying boats, the Chinese and their flying dragons, all the way up to the Middle Ages with the flying shields, and then right up till today with the increasing incidences of UFO activity, crop circles, cattle mutilations, it's obvious that they're still here. Well, if they're still here, then who are they and what do they want? Well, then, unfortunately, they've kept us distracted because there are those who study the UFO issue, and then there are those who study government and secret societies and government conspiracies. And
that's why Radio Freeman's trying to bring those together, Jim.
There you go. And they rarely get together, but they are together because it's all the same ball of wax. So if you put them together, that means that there is a group of mostly men, some women, who are trying to control the world, the entire planet, and that they belong to these secret societies that can be tracked all the way back to the ancient secrets of the Anunnaki. So that means to me that they are either one of three things. They are trying to contact these ancient gods from the sky, or two, they are already in contact with these ETs and are being guided or controlled by them, or three, they are the ancient Anunnaki. And I think that if we're ever going to try to regain our position in this country as a free people, we've got to address this issue and find out which of these three possibilities is the reality.
Let me just take this to the modern day. Actually, we just had the death of Zechariah Sitchin on the anniversary of the bombing of the moon. And this was just the day before Zahi Hawass, the general secretary of the Giza Plateau and head of the Egyptian culture, was meeting with the Association of Research and Enlightenment, Edgar Cayce's group, about Atlantis.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, the consciousness around the planet is rising at an incredible rate. And so we're going to see some incredible shifts in belief systems and in theologies and in our philosophies as the years run on. And so obviously they're going to have to make, they, meaning these people who would control the world, they are having to make adjustments in their plan. For example, up until about 2 to 3 years ago, the official government position on flying saucers was basically that they don't exist. Okay, there's nothing there, folks. In fact, I've seen the documents. I have copies in my files. This goes back to the late 40s, early 50s, when it was decided that the public was not ready for such information, and they instituted a policy of denial and ridicule. You didn't see anything, and if you persist in saying you did, then you probably need psychiatric help. And that was quite successful in keeping the population cowed and quiet over all the years about the UFO phenomenon. But now we're in a reverse conditioning process. Now, with all the movies and with TV shows and with the younger people with their little alien toys and Star Wars and Star Trek.
Yeah. And Skyline.
Yeah. Now we're being conditioned to accept the idea that there is life outside the Earth. But this could be dangerous. Not because that there's bad people out there who want to come and invade our planet, but
which
because
Stephen
now
Hawking's
we are being set up for a false flag operation, and they will tell us, oh my goodness, there really are aliens, and you've got to give us the last of your liberties so we can protect you. And unfortunately, there's going to be too many people who are going to fall for it.
No doubt about it. I mean, Reagan opened the door there at the UN along with the many school appearances, speaking of this extraterrestrial threat. Now we have people flipping their script like Fife Symington, ex-governor of Arizona, saying, oh, no, don't look at that. Here, let me laugh at you with my aide dressed as a gray. But now has come forward and saying, oh, yeah, if you'd seen that big V-shaped craft, you'd known it was otherworldly. They are absolutely flipping the script. And, you know, talking of Disney mind control, when you start to look into Disney's propaganda from wartime, they had such a film as Education for Death, How to Make a Nazi. And they were using Nazi or Disney's propaganda techniques by the Nazis. Joseph Goebbels actually adopted Walt Disney's techniques. Well, when you see what came out recently with their Chicken Little. Now, this is a remake of their original wartime propaganda that Chicken Little this time is dealing first with an acorn, which is the very group putting Barack Obama in power, and then an alien invasion. Now we have the announcement, the Vatican has announced that they have their, they were having an ET conference, 120 biologists coming together to discuss the extraterrestrial life. We have Mazian Hoffman over at the UN claiming, no, I'm not the alien ambassador of the UN. and we have secret meetings with the Royal Society on this extraterrestrial threat, all going on right now.
That's exactly right. Again, this is the conditioning process. And in fact, now we have Stephen Hawking who comes out and suddenly says, well, yes, there's undoubtedly life in the universe, and it's probably bad, and it's probably going to be to our disadvantage, and we need to be careful dealing with bad old aliens, you know. Well, I would simply right. point out that in the course of my studies, again, I have come to the realization that the UFO ET situation has been part of the human experience throughout recorded history. So just think about that, folks. If the alien agenda was to attack the Earth, blow up our cities, eat us or whatever, a la the film Independence Day, they certainly would have done it long before now, right? I mean, why wait until we have space capability and we have space platforms and we have laser technology and pulse weapons? Why wait till we get to this level? Why didn't they just attack us when all we had was swords and muskets, you know? So
very good point.
Yeah, so it should be obvious that this whole thing about alien going to get you is just another scam, another, more fear-mongering to bring the masses into line.
Yes, well, we did have just recently yesterday, the mystery missile launch off the coast of California.
Never figure out what that was?
Not yet. But the last launch out of there, out of Vandenberg Air Force Base, which was not 35 miles off the coast like this rocket launch, if it was a rocket launch, we don't know. But it seemed to be an ICBM. But the last launch they did was a Minotaur rocket just a couple of weeks ago that launched the space-based space surveillance system, which is now setting up an entire grid around the globe for the United States Space Force to watch incoming bodies.
Right. And of
how
course,
many people
well,
know
goes,
we have a United States Space Force?
No, they don't even know. And yet, what's the fellow's name that was hiding out over in England and had hacked into the...
Gary McKinnon
had hacked into the Pentagon computers simply looking for proof of the U.S. Space Force and the fact that we had flying saucers. They have actually admitted that he did no harm. In fact, they ought to be hailing him as a hero to show the weaknesses of our computer systems in the defense section. But instead, they're trying to get him back here and they're trying to shut him up. Why? Because he found evidence of the U.S. Space Force. It's all happening. It's Buck Rogers type stuff. And yet we're being held in the 1950s and still under fear that there's some international group trying to harm us. And are there crazed Muslims in the Middle East who would like to do harm to the United States? Yes, of course there are. But if left to their own devices, they probably couldn't figure out how to drive a car, and they probably couldn't figure out how to make a bomb, and they certainly couldn't figure out how to get it over here. No, it's all false flag things, and I think I can prove that to everyone's satisfaction by simply asking this question. If indeed we are supposed to be so fearful and watchful of an international terrorist organization that wants to destroy our freedom and democracy, then you'd think they'd guard the border.
You got that right. Thank you, Jim. Like to learn more about Jim Marr's works, go on over to jimmarrs.com. That's JIMMARRS. JimMarrs.com. What do you have coming for us, Jim? I'm so excited about reading all your books. I'm ready for the next one. You got something coming out?
Well, next year, I just finished updating and expanding my book on 9/11 entitled The Terror Conspiracy. It will be out sometime early in next year, long before the 10th anniversary of 9/11. And 9/11, I just can't stress enough. And, you know, let me go back. I'm old enough to remember following the Kennedy assassination that for about 15 years, it was just considered impolite to even talk about that in decent company. And there was just this huge sound of silence in this country about what happened. And that was only broken in the mid-70s when they actually first aired the, and people actually got to see the famous Zapruder film. And then, of course, that led, and other things, led to the House Committee on, Select Committee on Assassinations. And they concluded that there was probably a conspiracy. So then it slowly began to shift. And by now, and now that we're approaching the 50th anniversary of the Kennedy assassination, the polls show that virtually the vast majority of people in this country, somewhere up around 85-90%, now believe or understand that there was a deep conspiracy to kill President Kennedy. It was not just the work of one man. My argument is, why should we wait another 50 years to find out that we were suckered on 9/11? And before I go any further, and before everybody goes, oh, no, no, here comes some more conspiracy theories, let me just read to you what John Farmer, a former Attorney General of New Jersey, who was the senior counsel to the 9/11 Commission, the official government commission to investigate 9/11. And last year he published a book, and in there he wrote, and I'm quoting, "In the course of our investigation into the national response to the attacks, the 9/11 Commission staff discovered that the official version of what had occurred that morning, that is, what government and military officials had told Congress, the Commission, the media, and the public about who knew what and when, was almost entirely and inexplicably untrue." And just to make sure that, you know, we weren't misinterpreting what he was saying there, on the next page he writes, "At some level of the government, at some point in time, there was a decision not to tell the truth about what happened. So I simply ask you, what is fantasy and what is un-American for simply trying to find out what was the truth about the attacks of 9/11, the greatest attack on the United States, I guess, since the War of 1812.
Absolutely. And I found that many of those within the 9/11 Commission were actually on eugenicist campaigns.
Right. Yes, it was heavily stacked. It was a slanted commission, just like the Warren Commission. And they were, you know, but to give you, here's two ideas on how inadequate the 9/11 Commission was. First off, of course, everyone is now becoming aware that there were three buildings that collapsed on 9/11, okay? The two World Trade Center towers and the 47-story steel and glass Solomon Brothers building, better known as Building 7 of the World Trade Center, which went down about 5:25 that afternoon, went straight down into its own footprint just at near free fall speed. It was not hit by airplanes. What was that all about? Well, how did the 9/11 Commission explain the collapse of Building 7? They didn't. They didn't even mention it. Now, that's just beyond the beyond. It's incredible. And then let me point out that the day after Pearl Harbor, Congress assembled a commission to find out what had happened. Less than a week after the Kennedy assassination, President Johnson began to assemble a commission to look into it, which, of course, turned out to be that sad Warren Commission. But, nevertheless, they moved quickly to find out what had happened. Almost 2 years after 9/11, President Bush was still dragging his feet and finally and grudgingly got this commission going. And the families of 9/11 victims had a long list of questions they wanted answered, and the commission answered virtually none of them. Now, when the commission got underway, you could argue, well, it really wasn't their fault. They were underfunded, and that's probably true. Initially, President Bush funded the 9/11 Commission for $3 million, which to us sounds like a lot of money, but in the scheme of Washington, that's pocket change. And even the 9/11 Commission said, We can't do anything with $3 million. So by the end of it, Bush had upped the ante, and it finally paid out $13 million to the 9/11 Commission to investigate the largest act of terror and the largest attack on the United States since Pearl Harbor, probably. And yet, according to the Republican National Committee, in 2004, when Bush was again put into office, they spent $60 million, four times more than they spent on the 9/11 Commission, just on Bush's reelection parties and festivities.
Right.
That's pretty well tells the story right there.
Well, Jim, thank you so much for coming on Radio Freeman and being here for this premiere show. Once again, if you want to visit Jim's site, it's Jim Mars, and that's with two R's, jimmars.com. I'm looking forward to your next book next year, and I hope we get to talk some more here in the very near future.
You bet. Well, be sure and catch my latest book, The $1 Trillion Conspiracy, because it goes beyond the economic collapse, who caused it. It's totally manipulated, and it gets into drugging the population, bad food and water, the mycoplasma attack, where we use Nazi biological weapons, have now been bumped up, intensified, and are now being applied to the public in this country. You need to read the facts.
Absolutely, and you're the one to go get them. There's no doubts about that. I trust your word. I love your work. Thank you.